Hello and welcome to WS Podcast. My name is Wojciech Salski, I'll be your host for today. And before we begin, may I just remind you, please, if you find this podcast interesting, useful, if you think this is something worth sharing, please share it with a friend, a colleague, a family member. And don't forget to subscribe or follow. It helps the podcast to grow. It makes sure that you see the new episode dropping when it does. And it lets me know as well what kind of people from where. What are you interested in are there? So yeah, I'd like to get to know you in that sense, in that limited relationship of a sense. Other than that, if you'd like to check out the podcast in any other way, support it, please follow the link below. There are some options there, and I am very, very grateful for all of you out there who are listening, supporting, sending a friendly comment and so forth. It really does make my day, especially the comments and emails and stuff like that. So deeply, deeply, deeply appreciated. Thank you so much. Now, today's a big one, guys, because this might just be the last episode in this little cupboard of a studio. I don't know yet how the next studio will look like. I will hopefully make it an upgrade from where we are right now. But of course, as I mentioned last time, each to their own. I bet tastes will differ. So it might just be that what I think to be a nice way to arrange a studio is not necessarily what you would choose. I'll also try to get help from my lovely wife in terms of, some aesthetics. But yeah, I'm really, really excited to move the rooms and to make the studio anew, in a sense. So let's see what happens. I'll keep you updated. It might just happen that the next episode will be recorded without my lovely face. If that's the case, please remember that it is please remember it will be temporary for sure. It might just be that I didn't manage to make the studio nice in time, and I'm too ashamed to record in in the corner of a room without any background and so forth. So I'm gonna try to make it happen quick enough. If I don't make it, then we might just have one episode recorded just with my voice, and that's okay. Most of you, I bet, are still listening mostly rather than watching. Other than that, I think I'm gonna try to tackle quite a big topic today. So I did make myself a promise that I will finish within an hour and maybe 10-15 minutes. And if that's not gonna happen, if I can see 40 minutes in that we're not even making half of the points that I wanted to make, then I will just make another episode about it. So it might just be a two episode expose, and it's a big one. I'd like to talk with you today about freedom, and I know that we know that it is a very complex and a huge topic. And I've created a bunch of, a list of aspects that I'd like to share with you. And I'll try to put forth as much from me that will be useful for your next year, really, because I am preparing for the new years already. And I did think this topic to be quite suitable for that occasion. But of course, as I said, it's a huge topic, and we could probably talk about it endlessly. If anything, I'm hoping to get some guests in next year to discuss this topic with me. So yeah, I've got some notes on screen as per usual. I've got some notes on my little notepad here, and let's give it a start. So first of all, of course, freedom has many faces, right? You could talk about financial freedom. You could talk about the freedom to choose what to do. you are exercising that freedom right now, listening to this episode rather than listening to another. I am exercising this freedom of choice now in the past for you, but in the present for me, by speaking to this microphone and having a little mindful wander down the alleyways of my mind and my notes. You can have the freedom of movement, freedom to choose what you want to do in life, a time freedom, which basically allows those choices to be made, maybe the choices what you do and when. Geographical, national freedom, the private property, which I will try to dive into a little bit deeper. So the freedom to own your own things and to do with them as you find fit. The freedom of speech, which is very, very important, and I'll also try to touch on that. There's plenty more. So the point here is that, in a way, freedom, one could argue that freedom lies at the as a foundation to your life's adventures, right? It is one of those things that without which, similarly to health, I think, without which it is very difficult to enjoy your daily activities. And of course, health is at the most basic of foundations, I think, being able to stay healthy and therefore enjoy the lack of disease of any kind is, I think, at the root. But then up and up, the freedom of expression, the freedom to choose, the freedom to act, the freedom to live are very, very important. And in many ways, it's like with health and like with many other things, only when we don't have it or when we realize we don't have it as much as we thought we would, that we start to appreciate its value. So I'd like to talk about the different aspects of freedom. I've prepared, I think, 8 or 10 themes, and I'll offer you some thoughts on each. Some of them might be something we've already discussed on the show. I'm sorry, it is very much so intertwined with the idea of becoming a better human being. Some of them might be very new, and I'll try to make sure that each point has a certain degree of practical, thought-provoking, action-provoking ideas to choose from for yourself. Because my intention with this episode and my intention with the potential next episode and the episodes up until the end of the year are is to basically offer you an invitation of a sort, a preparation for the next year, so you can harness these different ideas and maybe take advantage of them, and maybe change something you think is worth changing. I bet many of you, as myself, will be taking on some new year resolutions or new year intentions, as we've discussed last year. And so all of these stem from your freedom to choose, and I'm gonna try to make sure that the choices you make are more informed to the degree that I can, offer some insight. But of course, the caveat is I'm just a person. I'm very much so imperfect. I struggle with a lot of things, and this is purely educational, entertaining, hopefully. I can't tell you how to live your life. I barely know how to live mine, but I'll share with you some ideas, and hopefully these will be a good conversation starter, whether with yourself or with a friend or with your wife, boyfriend and so forth. So in terms of, I guess, the first topic, I would argue we should talk about the freedom of time, right? We talk about free time when we think about going for holidays, or maybe if you are still in that lovely stage of your life of being a child or not yet having to go to work, you might find that you have a lot of free time, maybe apart from a school or some chores at home. And, you know, this freedom, the ability to choose how to spend your time is something that, in a way, I think impacts on a philosophical level, maybe spiritually as well, impacts the quality you derive from that time, right? So if you are able to choose whether or not to play football today and you are an avid football player, I would argue that you will find it more fun that you can play football and do than someone who might be a good football player but plays it because he's forced to do it, whether by his parents wanting for him to be brought up as an incredible, you know, next Neymar or Messi or whoever else nowadays is the big top dog, or maybe because you are going to work, to school, you are doing things that are not fully voluntary. You know, don't get me wrong, and this is an interesting point, it is my choice to go to work today, right? I've been to work today, I'm gonna go to work on Monday again, and that's a choice I'm making. But I wouldn't say it's a purely free choice, because by the lack of money, which potentially could happen if I didn't have a job and didn't have savings, I am in a way forced to choose between poverty and struggle and potentially having a lot of free time but not being able to do much with that free time, because I'll be, you know, maybe under the bridge somewhere and that's all I can afford because I cannot afford anything. Or the other choice is, of course, to go to work and potentially do something that I enjoy more or less, maybe something I don't like. You know, many people, I bet, are living their life working, not necessarily out of choice to work, right? So that's the point. And it's interesting because the time freedom here, the expose, the idea, the discussion of it, is that your, arguably, if you are going to work, then I would consider that time not to be your free time, right? Even though you are free to choose to go to work, that time is not free because you cannot fully choose what to do at work unless you're maybe working as an artist. But then that still puts you in a certain confine of, you know, if you're a painter and you have a sponsor that is, you know, funding your next painting, you can't suddenly sit down and start writing as part of your work if on the contract it states that you're making a painting. So even someone with a free a labor of a sense, you know, an artistic soul, they still, if they are confined by some sort of a contract, there are some rigid rules in place, right? So the freedom we're talking about here is the freedom for you to choose how you spend your time fully. If there was nothing to worry about, if no one's asking you anything, what would you like to do right now, right? So that's, for example, what I'm doing. I'm recording a podcast. No one told me to do it. I'm not getting paid to do it. I don't rely on these things to bring me satisfaction of the activity. And so in a way, I would argue that I'm making a free choice as I talk with you right now, right? Now, in terms of your freedom, in terms of time, I think that's exactly the important point there, that it's important for you to be aware that in your free time, you can choose, and you don't have to choose things that are things that someone would tell you should do. Rather, I would encourage you, and this is a genuine encouragement for you, to decide, what would you like to do? What are your passions? What are your hobbies? What are you interested in? Would you like to learn something new? Would you like to learn a certain skill? Do something in particular that you've not had time for before? And especially as you're listening to this episode, there are still a few weeks until the end of the year, and there will be some time, I bet, over Christmas period when you might have more time, which is free time, to work with. And so I would invite you to consider, what would you like to do in that free time, which actually is free, if you are, you know, able to go home, spend time with whatever you want to be doing, and you don't have to go back to work that day. And, you know, in terms of this necessity, I would say, I think it's a very important aspect of self-care. And I see it every day, you know, and I see it in myself sometimes. When we are so overworked or busy with so many things that are not really of ours making, of our choice, maybe we are dealing with some stuff that is being put on us by others, maybe because we try to be pleasing to others, we fall into this endless loop of doing things for others and not finding time to do things for ourselves. I think we can get ourselves really, really deeply into a dis-ease like state in a spiritual sense, right? A sense of not being in agency, not having the freedom of your own time. And especially if you're doing work, you know, if you work so much that you have no time to not work and just relax, do something that you enjoy, and not something you enjoy out of necessity to enjoy, aka work. Rather, you actually, if money wasn't an issue, if you just had free time, that's what you would do. I think we are more likely to fall, you know, into a stressful state, to become ill, to get ourselves overworked, burned out, as they call it. And that's a really important thing, you know. I can't imagine how difficult it must be for people who are in this loop of constant work. And especially if they are doing work that they don't even find that passionate, because some are very, very lucky to be doing exactly what they enjoy doing, and that's a part of their job, and that's incredible. But many aren't. And I don't know about you, but overworking at things that I don't find fascinating and incredibly soul-filling just scares the shit out of me. And I would argue that it is a very, very important self-care aspect of this time freedom, to actually have free time for yourself to choose from, and to choose actively because you want to, not because someone tells you to choose that or the other. Now, in terms of this time choice, I will link below a few different books and episodes that we've discussed in relation to this sort of work-life balance, you know, efficiency, time management. I think time management is a huge, huge point here. And if you remember from our episode about the 12 Rules for Life by Peterson, I think in one of his lectures he says that your schedule should not be like a prison. It should be your schedule because you chose it, right? So I would encourage you, if you are not much of a schedule person, maybe start small, but you know, without having to do a full schedule to begin with, let's start with small steps. I would encourage you to choose a day in a week, a time in a week, a time in a day, when you will be doing things that you want to do. If you feel like all the things you do are not out of your own choice, maybe you work a lot and then you're trying to pander to the many different expectations people have for you, then literally schedule it. You could even communicate it with your family members or with your spouse or whatever. At work, we have something that is like in your schedule at work, you can put a non-negotiable. So for example, every Friday, I think, or every Wednesday, I have a non-negotiable that I leave work at a certain hour so I can go and train, right? Do my sports, which I really, really need. Otherwise, it's just not healthy for me to abandon it. So, you know, you could start very small like that, just creating, managing your time, because it is limited. It is the most scarce asset you have in life, and ensuring and defending with all your might that free time you have, right? If you're going for holidays with your family, try all you can not to be working, right? Because you're taking away from the quality of time with them, you're sending them a signal that they are not as important to you as work, and essentially you're stealing from your own free time by allowing yourself to fall back into, you know, a work, whatever you might be doing. So the first point, the first theme is this time freedom, and of course, each of us might have a different degree of choice in that space. And this brings me very, very swiftly to the financial freedom, which I would argue is the biggest predictor, the best predictor, in my opinion, of having free time successfully, right? And consistently, right? Essentially. So let's try to define financial freedom. For me, financial freedom is the ability to make choices of any kind without being bound by financial constraints, let's say. So without being, without needing to go to work when you don't want to go to work, without needing to buy this and or that because you choose not to, and so forth. And of course, there are levels to it. There, you could argue that there is a financial independence, which is like being fully independent of any financial constraints whatsoever, because you have just so much money that whatever the whim you have is sorted. Maybe there could be some financial security that you know that even if you don't have a job for another half a year, you'll still be okay. You could live the same level of life that you're living like right now, and that gives you a certain level of safety, a safety net of a sort, security. And some call it emergency fund. I would invite you to call it good day fund, because we don't want to be bringing into our life any emergencies. So why would we call funds of accumulating money emergency fund? As if we're anticipating that emergency to emerge, essentially, sort of visualizing it, manifesting it, if you will. And then this financial freedom, right? So the freedom to choose and to make choices without the constraints stemming from financial, you know, restrictions of some sort, or you know, a limit that you might have. And in this in this space, a big, two big episodes that I would suggest you follow if you, you know, explore if you haven't yet, if this topic in particular is interesting for you, is the episode Let's Talk About Money, and the new episode recently, which has plenty of different materials within, Why Shouldn't You Buy Bitcoin? Because I explored many facets of the financial system in that particular episode, and I think it's quite informative. Now, in terms of this financial freedom, right? So first of all, what would that mean to you? And I would really like to invite you, especially at the beginning of a new year, new me kind of attitude. In many ways, you are new every day, if you think about it. Every minute, really. I would invite you to consider, what would that mean to you? You know, first of all, a good question to ask yourself is, if money wasn't an issue, what would I do, right? If money wasn't an issue, what would I do today? If money wasn't an issue, what would I do tomorrow? If money wasn't an issue, what would I do in a year from now? Where would I go? What would I do? Where, with whom I would spend time? What would I be doing, right? Maybe where would I be living? Those are really inspiring and fun, I think, questions to ask yourself. For me, I really love them. Been, you know, on and off writing about them to myself, different plans, sketches, ideas, exploring them with my now wife, and so forth for ages now, really. but I just like to feel excited about the future. So these are the ideas that I want to bring forth to my life, and I'm inviting you to consider that as well. And then secondly, once you know roughly what would you do, what would that mean, I would ask you, how can you get there right now? What do you think? What assets, what sort of pathways can you see to getting there? And of course, among the most basic of them are, of course, being able to earn more than you spend, right? Creating that surplus of energy stored in your money that you're getting paid from your income, or maybe you're still at school and you're getting some cash from your parents every week or whatever, every day, I don't know. And basically accumulating this surplus with which you could potentially buffer yourself, hedge against having to work every day and, you know, struggling to make your ends meet. And of course, there are different levels to it. I don't want to go too deep in this episode. I don't want this episode to be about finances that much. I think we've talked about it quite recently, quite a bit. But, you know, going on to those steps from potentially being in debt, as I know many people are, to slowly and surely getting out of it, and then, or maybe fast, really. I wish you to get out of debt just like that. And then creating these different levels of financial stability, security, freedom, independence, whatever, to the point that you can live a debt-free and financially unbound life. And then, you know, the point here is, if that happens, when that happens, which I wish upon you, as I wish upon myself, what would you like to do today? What would you like to do then? And I would challenge you to use the answer that popped up into your head right now, in your head right now, what would you like to do if that happened? And ask yourself now, why are you not doing it right now? Because, you know, for example, if I'm thinking I'd like to spend more time in nature and, I don't know, travel the world, of course, I cannot fully now leave every, you know, commitment I have and go travel. But I can travel sporadically. I can go on vacations to travel, right? Or maybe I would say I would read more books. Well, why are you saying that you would read more books when you don't have to do anything with finance and so forth? And yet, if you have a spare time right now, you're scrolling TikTok or whatever and you're not reading any books. I'd like to read more books into the future, so I'm reading a lot of books now because I know that there is not enough time in my life to read all the books, but there certainly is enough time in my life to read as many books as I can. So, you know, you can sort of start thinking about those starting small free choices, right? You don't have to be financially free just yet to live closer life that resembles your ideal life past the financial freedom goal right now. And, you know, I would argue that this is a very, very important point for yourself to ask and answer, you know, to discuss it with your loved one, to talk about it with a friend, or and maybe even review what you do on the daily basis. Because what you do every day, Brené Brown had this amazing quote that each action you take is a vote for the kind of person you wish to become, right? So, for example, what you do... sorry, just a second. Sorry. Just the lamp down there is not the ideal. I'm struggling with that one. That's beside the point. You know, every action you take is a vote for the kind of person you wish to become. So if you wish to become a more healthy, athletic person, every time you go to the gym, every time you work out, every time you even, you know, work out 10 minutes, stretch, whatever, you go for a brisk walk, you're making a vote. You're making a vote for the kind of person you wish to become, which is an athletic person. If you wish to become an athletic person, but every time you have free time to choose, you decide to, you know, eat crisps and lie on the couch, I'm afraid that you're making a vote against that person. You know, you're essentially making them lose in the long run. So if there is anything in your life right now that you are doing or not doing because of the financial constraints, and you think that if you were free of those financial constraints, you would start doing it, I would argue with you that there is probably at least one aspect of that activity which you are avoiding, or of that habit which you are trying to change or you want to start, that you could start now, even with the little money that you have, unless the habit or the activity that you cannot do just yet is spend a lot of money. And yeah, that's probably not the best strategy for using your, you know, steps to become more financially and time-wise free. Now, I cannot stress it enough, and I'll just leave you with this. I'll put the link below to both of those episodes, and you can check out the topic in more depth. I cannot stress enough the importance of financial literacy and education. And this is one of the reasons why I've made quite a few podcasts by now about this topic, which still, for me, after many hundreds or thousands of hours spent understanding it, listening about it, reading about it, I cannot stress enough how important it is, and yet how little we know, like an average person knows. And I think it's for a reason. I think you are not informed about how economics really works, and how finance, education, how to be financially savvy. Simply because if you are not, then people can take advantage of you. And I don't have to go into details what and who, but there are many people out there, many organizations out there that thrive on your ignorance in this space. And your misery, if you are feeling miserable because of your financial illiteracy, is unnecessary. There are many sources to explore, and you can become a much more financially savvy person and really change your life, truly, I think. It certainly changes mine every day. Now, let's look at the time. Okay, yeah, we're maybe not on schedule, but we're getting there. So which one do I want to talk about now? Okay, let's talk about the third very important one. One could argue that it's actually the most important one in terms of this episode, this podcast even being broadcasted and heard by you, is the expression and the thought freedom and free speech, if you will, freedom, right? So the freedom of speech, the freedom of thought, the freedom of expression, the freedom to basically choose who you want to show yourself as, what would you like to say, who would you like to talk about, to talk to, and so forth. I think freedom of speech is like a stem from freedom of thought. Of course, it's much, much more easily, it's much easier to take away someone's freedom to speak simply by blocking them, canceling them, that cancel culture idea and all, or maybe shadow banning. I've heard some channels or some posts can be shadow banned, which basically means you think your posts are getting out there and simply not getting any eyes to see them, but you're actually being sort of low-key cancelled. You just don't see. You see your post as if it's visible to others, and actually it isn't. freedom of thought is much more difficult to curb only until someone will have access to our thoughts, which is obviously one of these dystopian futures ideas that both Black Mirror episode and so many, you know, amazing books explored. We've already talked about 1984 and The Brave New World, which I'll link below as well, which are just incredible fiction books that allow us to sort of anticipate, think of how a totalitarian freedom-curbing, freedom-limiting state could look like. Now, in terms of freedom of speech, this, for whatever reason, has become recently, over the past however many years, how do you call it, a controversial topic. I don't know, I can't really grasp how can it be controversial to allow people to speak their mind if that is literally what lies at the essence of being human and as a foundation of civilization. You know, of course, we don't know for a fact, but it seems like what humans did, which got us here, and what allowed civilization to become a civilization, is the fact that we can cooperate and we can communicate. Apparently, language, I don't remember according to whom, but I've heard an interview with a gentleman who made a point that language is literally what this incredible power that allowed us to... language and abstract thought, those two sort of intertwined, allowed us to basically dominate all the other species and just create the incredible world we live in. You know, all of the things that I'm using right now to record it, all of the words that I'm using to communicate with you, even if you're not from the same country, quite frankly, I'm not even, English or British by birth. So, you know, the mere fact that I'm communicating in non-mother tongue to you, non-English speaker potentially, or some of you might, is just incredible. And to be able to express thoughts that make sense to you, even though I am so limited in my ability to express what I think, is just a miracle, right? And personally, I believe that freedom of speech is the most important of freedoms, other than freedom to, you know, to be free, not to be in a cage. And, you know, some would argue, such as Alexander Solzhenitsyn, which I'll also link the episode about Gulag Archipelago. Alexander Solzhenitsyn and Viktor Frankl in The Maps of Meaning, which I'm sorry, but I still have not prepared the episode for you, which is crazy. I always... not the Maps of Meaning, the Man's Search for Meaning, sorry. I'll put the Man's Search... I need to prepare that episode for you. Maybe that's a task for me before the end of the year also to create that episode for you. You know, Viktor Frankl, who participated in Holocaust and survived it, his observation was that you can take away every man's, every kind of freedom from a person, but you cannot take away the freedom to choose how to think in any given circumstance. It is literally the essential freedom you have, right? If we cannot butt heads about a topic, if I cannot tell you what I think so you can correct me, and if I cannot hear your correction and so correct my way of thinking, we just can't coexist. You know, our civilization and the basis of our humanity simply collapses upon itself And I'm afraid that's exactly what's happening with the censorships and the different examples of, you know, open discussion being openly criticized, or the perspective that some views are too extreme to be heard. The problem with some views being too extreme to be heard, hypothesis, in my opinion, is if we cannot hear them, then they will be expressed otherwise. And imagine a situation when someone has some sort of issue, let's say that they are in a lot of pain, but you don't want to hear it, so you don't allow them to speak, whatever, you make them unable to speak, but they are still in pain. And so since they cannot communicate with you with this most humane way of communication with words, they start to maybe bang on the door, or you know, maybe bang on you, like they can literally punch you to get your attention. The escalation levels are endless, and it's like sort of brushing something under the carpet. We cannot sweep under the carpet the issues that people might have and struggle with, simply because we don't want to hear it. Because it's like an ignorance is bliss, or a willful blindness example. It doesn't, in my opinion, and of course, you know, I'm just expressing my thoughts here with my freedom of expression, but whatever views there are that might be offensive to you, if you can't speak to a person, if you can't talk to a person who has those views, and so in that discussion, in a civilized way, being able to debate ideas, in the free market of ideas, the good idea will always win. It's only in the non-free market of ideas, where someone is maybe holding a big stick as you talk, and so you're scared to say your truth, that the not the best idea wins, right? It's a very similar situation with a free market. In a truly free market, the best product will win. In a market that is not fully free, maybe because some products are subsidized by the government, or maybe because some products are simply unavailable because of whatever, sanctions or something, you're essentially manipulating the outcome, right? It's almost as if we were in a race, we're all running, but some people have one leg tied with the other. Some people might, you know, not be able to run whatsoever. Some people might be tied to a chair, and then there is this one guy who's actually running fully, you know, at full speed, unbounded, and surprise, surprise, he wins while everyone else is struggling to even make the halfway mark, right? So the freedom to think and express ourselves is like the best way of figuring out how to make things better, how to make the world better. And it is challenging to hear some things, you know, don't get me wrong. In my relationship, in my life in general, like not maybe often, but fairly regularly, I am faced with some opinions, whether from my loved ones or from my friends, or something that I overhear that make me, you know, a bit upset about it, maybe confused. Maybe sometimes I'll hear something from my loved one which is really, really true. Simply, I didn't want to hear it and I don't enjoy hearing it, and maybe I've been sort of pretending that it's not there, because I didn't want to deal with it. And then your loved one or your friend, if they wish you well, they will tell you if you're missing the point, right? I was actually discussing it with my dear friend after a work party yesterday. We were walking home and we discussed the fact that you can tell a true friend when from a not so sorry. You can tell a true friend from a not so true friend, I guess, by the fact that they will tell you if what you're doing is, not good for you, or they will point you in the right direction. They will not let you suffer or let you fall if they can see you stumble, right? Whereas if someone's not really your true friend, maybe they silently, you know, quietly don't really wish you that well. They might potentially, you know, potentially forget to mention that that's going to happen, or maybe forget to notice that what you did is not exactly right, and hence you're going to have a trouble because of it. So this ability to hear even a difficult topic, difficult theme, difficult idea is needed for us so we can face our own thoughts, really. Like, it is for a reason that people go insane when they are left alone with themselves. We truly need to talk. The moment we stop talking is the moment we start going insane, and freedom of speech is huge on that. You know, so the idea that any institution should restrict freedom of thought or expression of or speech rather than protect it as the one of the, if not the most important of rights, just sounds crazy to me. And I truly, truly, truly pray and hope that we don't go down that path. You know, it's very troubling to hear that that might be the case somewhere. And, you know, especially, I'll leave you with this. I have a quote I've overheard somewhere, and I really love it. To doubt is to think is to be free. Don't hesitate to doubt. Don't hesitate to doubt all that I just said today. The point of thinking for yourself is to think, right? So in the same way that you should feel skeptical about someone telling you something that is really, really shocking, you should be skeptical of someone saying something to you that seems completely down your alley, because maybe they're saying it exactly because they know it's gonna be something you want to hear. It works both ways, and it's very easy to get manipulated, especially by people, by ideas that we appreciate. And it's almost like we have those blinds, you know, in those areas for a good reason. You know, maybe that's why we get so easily blindsided by our so-called friends, because we've grown to be used that those guys are around and they are great. And then when something happens that out of the blue, you know, sort of shows up that they were not really our friends to begin with, it's just a difficult situation to have. But my invitation to you on this front, on the freedom of thought, of freedom of speech, freedom of expression, is to really think critically and, you know, check a few sources, talk with a friend, talk with your loved one. If there is a topic that is bothering you, don't leave it to yourself or to the algorithm of some social media app that just will feed you whatever you are already watching. Make sure to go in depth. And if someone is saying that something is a scam or is wrong or whatever, if there are sources, and I bet there are, get yourself a book on the topic. You know, if someone's saying that, let's say, I don't know, communism is a good idea, read one of the books on how communism destroyed one of the many countries it emerged in. It's mind-boggling to see people fall again and again for the same traps of just some stories. You know, it's great to hear stories. We all love them. Podcast, in a way, is a story. I'm telling a story of some sort. But after all, it's, you know, you got to think for yourself. You have the freedom to choose, the freedom to think, the freedom to express yourself, and the freedom to speak. And if you want to speak up for something, you should be allowed to do so. And just have a think, right? I invite you on this point to think for yourself. and to really think critically. And if you need any suggestions of some sources or books for any topic, please feel free to send me an email. I will be more than happy to share with you some of my ideas from, you know, I have a list of books either to read or already read, and not all of them make it to the podcast. So I'm very happy to help in that regard. Now, let's see. We've got 20 more minutes, roughly. All right. Okay. Well, yeah, we're definitely going to have another episode. I don't know if we're going to do it straight after this one, but okay, how about... Okay, let's do two birds in with one stone: private property and personal freedom. So, of course, the idea of private property is the right to own or possess a certain, you know, private property, which means it is yours. You can choose whatever you want to do with it. You can destroy it. You can hide it. You can keep it. You can dig a hole in the middle of nowhere and put it there. You can eat it if you want. Hopefully it's something edible. The whole point of private property is that there are rules in place that allow us to thrive as a society. Actually, private property, from what I remember, emerged as a tool for the local, you know, let's say a lord, for example, to be able to get support of his tribesmen, or maybe, you know, a chieftain, in a situation when he needs them, right? So, for example, if we are living in a tribe and each of us has a bunch of things, but anytime we go hunting, someone steals your things, you won't be willing to go hunting with the group. Because, you know, it's a good point. You don't want your things stolen, right? If you found a really nice rock that you want to keep, or maybe you found a nice, stone for your wife as a gift, and you want her to have it in your tent or whatever, in your cave, it is a very essential need, right? To be able to keep it there when you're absent. You shouldn't be constantly guarding your stuff. And it's a very practical idea. If we constantly have to stay at the door of our flat, because the moment we leave the flat, someone will move in, no one would go to work, no one would do anything. Everyone would be literally just stuck in their rooms, in their houses. And so this private property and law of ownership emerged as a tool of sort of rights and protection. And so we know that the laws and regulations are allowing you to feel certain that if something were to happen, at least you're gonna have the authority, maybe the chieftain, the tribal chief of your group, or maybe the governor of your state and so forth, the local police chief will be on your side, trying to reconcile what happened, right? Maybe, first of all, try to get it. Maybe the police will try to help you get your stuff back. And if that's not the case, at least the laws are in place that, you know, that person will be pursued. Maybe that person will be caught, and then the law firm comes into play and so forth. But essentially, it's to... discourage the theft of private property, right? And that's why also policing and any kind of, you know, rule of law that is a strong rule of law lies at the as a foundation of a prospering and peaceful society. Because if you have a society in which petty crime, petty theft is not pursued, then you will have more petty theft and petty crime happening, and then people will be less happy and so forth. So of course, since there are laws in place that will potentially discourage this potential thief from coming in and stealing your stuff while you're at work, your freedom to have that private property is kept, right? And so, you know, in a way, the property rights, the freedom to have your own things, is both really useful for the society because it allows the society to thrive and expand, but it is also very, very good and useful. Good is maybe a wrong word. Useful for us because it allows us to accumulate things, and of course, as you are a human too, unless maybe there is some other celestial being out there listening. If you are, that's great. Send me an email or ping me a message somehow. Thanks to these, since we know, we're all human, we like to collect nice things. We have our tastes. We have things that, ways of being, colors that we like and so forth. And this private property, the personal freedom to hold private property, is that which allows us to do so. And so it is very, very useful, I would argue. And, I bet you would want to keep it. I know I would. I think it's a very wonderful idea that whenever I'm visiting my hometown for Christmas, for example, I'm not worrying that by the time I come back to my home is no more and everything is stripped down and maybe sold to the highest bidder. Now, a maybe a bit more essential aspect is the personal freedom. And basically, let's try to define it as the freedom to choose about yourself, right? About your own body, about your health, about your about your autonomy, about your self-care. Personal responsibility, the agency in life, being able to choose, all of this all of this is up for grabs in terms of cultural and social norms. There are different personal freedoms in different countries, in different cultures, in different families even. You might have a group of people that considers it a personal freedom to walk around the city naked, and then you might find a group of people that considers personal freedom to not have to see people walking around the city naked. it's interesting because there is this golden rule, as they call it, which is do unto others as you would want to be done unto yourself, which I guess in layman's terms is don't do to others that you wouldn't want to be done to you, essentially. And I would argue, and we talked about it yesterday with my friend as well, I would argue that this is one of the best guiding principles in life in general, because unless you're freaky psychopath that genuinely derives pleasure from suffering and from being in a state of, some sort of unease, disease and pain, it's unlikely that you will wish upon yourself to be in pain, in disease, in trouble. And so do unto others as you would want to be done upon yourself is a good indicator of what others would appreciate, right? If you're kind, from my experience, if you're kind to people, people will be kind to you. Of course, not all, but the majority. And that applies to all the aspects. If you're loving to others, most of people will be loving to you. Of course, not all, but it applies to majority. The majority of people genuinely, in my opinion, are kind, calm, normal people that wish everyone well. It's, if anything, if you think differently, I think first of all it's probably due to social media and media selling this idea of some sort of rotten humanity, and so get out more, get out to people rather than spend your time in online, because I think online the world is not as beautiful and as peaceful, as humane as out there. And of course, you know, just by talking to people on the daily basis, you'll see that everyone is fairly like you. It might just be that you've been spending too much time on screen to realize that. Now, in terms of, you know, of course, the right to privacy and autonomy, I think this is one of the topics that we will have to explore, privacy and anonymity. We'll explore in another topic. It's a big one. It's especially important nowadays with all the you know, data and basically online space being encroaching on digital space, encroaching to every aspect of our life. But the right to privacy in a form of, you know, for example, you have the right to keep your doors locked and your windows closed when you're asleep, right? You have the right to have some blinds on your windows so no one can see inside when you're spending time with your loved one, or when you just do something that, you know, maybe you're parading naked down around your house. I mean, whatever you want to do. In Polish, there is a saying, "Wolność Tomku w swoim domku," and it's this funny, basically, I think it's a quote from some story or something, that you can do whatever you want in your own house, right? It is your own house. If you want to paint the walls blue, if they are your walls, that's essentially your personal freedom and the property. You can do whatever you want. If you want to break the wall, yeah, be your guest in a sense, you know. So, you know, it lies at the root of many aspects of our self-care and self-love, because of course, a very important aspect of being a human is the freedom to feel safe. And I think that personal freedom is exactly that, in terms of having a place to stay, having your own home or having your own room, whatever, and being able to feel at peace, to feel calm and to be able to rest, right? Imagine how horrific your life would be if you were living in a situation in maybe somewhere where you don't feel safe when you're asleep. Well, essentially, you will be struggling to sleep, and even if you do sleep, you'll have nightmares, and so you're unlikely to be resting well, and essentially you'll be in constant state of anxiety and fear. It's a huge thing that I think we don't think about that much, because we just take it for granted, as many other things that we've explored today. But all these freedoms that you do have, that you might not even think that you do, are really, really important in basically ensuring that you are living a fulfilling, peaceful and life in a way that you'd like to live it, right? Having the ability to choose what to do with your body, what to do with your health, what to eat, how you take care of yourself, and how you spend your time with your loved ones, what color your walls are inside your flat. All of that has a huge impact, you know, even if you don't think about it, on your life satisfaction and quality of life, and your feeling of, basically just enjoying your life to the fullest, right? And so, of course, on this point, it's all intertwined, it's all interconnected. I don't remember if it was Kant or Hegel, one of the philosophers, I remember, or Hume maybe, I don't know, I don't remember, sorry, don't quote me on this, but there was this idea in one of the... one of the philosophers gave this idea, coined this idea, that your freedom ends where the freedom of the next person starts, right, begins. So, and I think personally, it really resonated with me. I first got introduced to it. I remember it as it was yesterday, even though I don't remember the name right now. But I remember when our teacher at history class, actually in primary school, wrote it on the blackboard and explained the concept, and it really hit me. It's one of those memories that I don't have that many memories from primary school that are so vivid. This one is, and I remember that it really made sense for me that my freedom's limit is where the freedom of you and you and you and you and you and everyone else begins, right? So for example, from my perspective, infringing on other person's freedom by, I don't know, taking away their things, aka stealing, or doing something that puts them in a state of you know, pain or some sort of really, really negative experience. Unless it is just talking, I think, yet again, we should be able to talk to one another. But all of these things, like for example, you know, my financial freedom ends where your financial freedom begins. It cannot be that for me to be financially free, you have to be financially a slave, right? It just can't be, in my opinion. So, you know, in terms of the personal freedom, I guess the only invitation for you that I could muster as I was exploring this topic is this idea: what would you like to be free to choose? And if some of these things, some of these aspects of life, we've not explored as part of financial freedom, as part of your time freedom, as part of your private property, or the freedom of speech, then let's call it your personal freedom to a degree. And I would just invite you over the coming weeks, as you go into the next year, and as you maybe try to reinvent yourself a little bit as a better human being, which I wish you to be. You know, I hope you are 1% better today than you were yesterday, at least 1%. It's this idea of compound effect, if you've not caught it. I love it. Think, what would you like to be free to do? And then ask yourself if that is something that you're thinking of doing, would that infringe on someone else's freedom? To put it into context, for example, it's an interesting, you know, I said earlier that maybe there is a society out there that allows people to parade naked on the street, and then maybe there are societies out there that don't allow that. It's an interesting topic, and I don't have the answer for it. I actually had a discussion about it at some point with one of my friends, and I'm in two minds about it, but it does make sense for me to a degree that if you, for example, if you were to be parading naked on the street and I don't want to see that and I see you, then a point could be made, an argument could be made that you have infringed on my personal freedom, right? You have done something that shocked me. And that way, you know, my personal freedom has been infringed. Now, I did hear from one of the people I met in I think Netherlands, that actually they don't think blinders on windows or shutters on windows are necessary. And the girl's argument when I discussed it with her was that it is the problem of those that are looking, that you know, that they're looking, not the problem of yours that you're walking around your flat naked, and that's fair. We didn't really discuss what would happen if you're walking around the city naked, but I leave that to you as an invitation not to walk around naked, rather to consider the next time you have something on your mind that you'd like to, you know, engage, do, start doing, to ask yourself, is there a way that this would potentially, you know, impact other people's freedom? And if there isn't, good for you, do it. And if there is, maybe discuss it with someone else before you act, simply because you might get in some sort of a trouble because of it. But it is a good mind exercise as well to recognize what you resonate with, what you agree with. And yet again, think critically. That's the whole point. So yeah, these are some ideas. I'll put the links below to the many episodes that touch on these different topics, whether it's time management, financial literacy, freedom of speech, you know, how to quit smoking is one of the episodes which I wanted to leave with you as well, and ultra-processed people, because, you know, freedom to choose whether you are addicted or not, and freedom to choose whether you need to eat crap food or not are, I think, really, really important. Freedom to choose your health, I think, is a huge part. So I'll put all those links below. And yeah, let's leave it for now. I'll make sure to park the idea of exploring the other aspects of freedom with you. There is also, you know, digital freedom I wanted to discuss with you. Privacy, of course. I wanted to talk about freedom in philosophical terms, which we sort of touched on a little bit. But as I said, we might have to do it in two shows or so. So yeah, I hope this was an interesting exploration for you. I hope you got some ideas for challenges over the coming weeks. And I wish for you that this actually helps you in your own pursuit of freedom of any kind. So yeah, have a wonderful. Oh yeah, and one more thing. So this might just be, as I said, the last time I'm giving you this arguably pleasurable experience from this amazing little corner of a wardrobe. So yeah, it's been fun. It's been real. Thank you for being on this journey with me, and I appreciate you, my dear little corner. Yeah. So wishing you all the best. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Thank you for sticking around, and please follow, subscribe. I always forget about, you know, reminding you about that. Yeah, just do. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Stay happy, stay healthy, stay free, and I'll see you next time.